Well, for those of you who were here on Wednesday, and even if you weren't, I'm going to clue you in just a little bit so you'll know where this lesson's coming from. We talked about, and I don't know that Gene said response, but that's how I kept hearing it. And it's a response. When Jesus is telling us something and he's telling us truth, how do you respond to that? Because this is someone who loves you. So how are you responding to that love? Paul prayed. He prayed three times, Lord, take this thorn away. There was a thorn in his flesh and he couldn't handle it. And he prayed three times. He said, I've asked you three times to remove this thorn. And then the Lord did not remove the thorn, but he did come in and he did tell him something. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is. And he says, notice it's my grace, but it's there for you. And then I heard someone say about grace, but not just grace. When we look at our books that we have, it's called Grace and Glory. Our song books, Grace and Glory. No man can glory in anything of himself, but when you walk in that grace that you've been given, you bring glory and honor unto our Lord, who is leading and guiding each one of us, who gave himself for us. But how do you respond to that love? Well, how did Paul respond? When Jesus said, my grace, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. How did he respond to that love? What did he do? Immediately, he said, I most gladly will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There's a response to what he had just been told. He accepted that truth. And that's what God wants us to do. Believe the word of God. When God says it, just believe it. But what happens if someone goes, oh, I've done this. What a wonderful message that was. What are we talking about when we say it was a wonderful message? That was a wonderful word from our Lord who is speaking to us. That gets your eyes off the messenger. Get your eyes on the word of God. And you say, that message was just for me. That word from God, he wants to see how I'm going to respond to it. We can all look at Canaan land and we can say, oh, it is. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's wonderful. We can go in. He said we could, but they don't go in. Their response is they look at the things they saw, not by faith. They looked at the giants in the land. And they said, we're not able to go in. Have you seen these giants? Have you seen what is in there? It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you feel. We are walking by faith. If God said it's ours, and we are to claim it. No matter how you feel, how are you going to respond? Think of the scripture when these things, the Lord will bring it to you. What did the scripture say? When I know to do good, what do I do? The opposite. When I want to do good, evil is present with me. It's going to be here, folks, until the day we get out of here. You must come to the place, I must, that we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. All these things are there to try you and to tempt you. But what do? Respond with a kiss of love back to him who loved you and gave himself for you. How are you responding to good things? But how are you responding to the bad things? It didn't say the world was going to come up and just roll out a red carpet all the time and treat you so good. No. But how are you going to respond? This came from the Lord's hand. He wants to see how you're going to respond. He already knows, but he's trying to let us see. I want you to see that this is the areas I'm working in your life. But if we become stubborn and stiff-necked, he can't do anything. There's no response. But what does he do? He keeps preaching the word of God. I was looking in Acts, and it came out while Jerry was praying. In Acts chapter 1, it said, and being assembled together with them, here's what Jesus did. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Okay? So let's just take ourselves there. You guys stay in Jerusalem. And we know Jerusalem is foundation of peace. Stay in Jerusalem and don't depart. But when you see the word but, there is some power, a change is going to take place. Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Now let's see, do they respond to this? How are they going to respond to these words? Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So what are they to do? Wait. And what's going to happen? If you look over in verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know right now, because they're saying, is it time for the kingdom to be set up? Is this? Is that? It's not, he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But, there's that word again. What's going to happen after that word but? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You are going to be witnesses. And I like this. Not witnesses to you and to you and to you. Witnesses unto me. But it is unto me when it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, when that power comes upon you. Now look at these promises. You wait. And they waited. They went into the upper room and they waited. What were they doing? They were responding to the word of God. They went in, and what happened to them? When they went in, they were all in one accord. All in one accord. And that means we're all doing what we all heard with the hearing of the ear. And they believed with their heart. They're waiting. They're going to receive that power from the Holy Ghost. He said, you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Now I wonder if their perspective and their minds are going to change now. He's gone. What are we going to do? The cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, there were two men, and two speaks of witness. Two men were stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, he shall come back. He's going to come back. Shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into the heaven, you're going to see him come. And they returned, they unto Jerusalem. Are they responding the way they should have? Yes. They went right there. They're in Jerusalem. And when they had come in, they went up into the upper room. And it tells you everyone who was there. And they all continued, notice, not part of them, all of them. They're only there for one purpose, all in one accord to receive the promise. We all come to church today. We are all here for one reason. I come to hear ye him. I want to know him in a greater way than I know him today. I want him to have an effect in my heart that I will be changed from what? Glory to glory and to glory, and then enter into the fullness of glory. Well, as you know, they did all go into the upper room. And I'm just going to tell you that he told them they were going to get that power. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And when you're sitting, what are you doing? You're resting. What are you resting on? The promise. I don't have to go up and try to make it all happen. No, you're going to rest in the promise. Just come in, just like if you want to be filled today. You just come up, you say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? It's promised to me. I want that power. You come up, you believe it, you receive it, and God does it all. You just start rejoicing in Him. There came in all the house where they were sitting, cloven tongues like a fire, and as it set upon each of them. And they were all, everybody, can you imagine the one accord here? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, waiting is also a response. Now, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is really our lesson. In chapter 20 and verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, that is the descendants from Lot, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat. Why are they coming against Jehoshaphat? To battle him. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there is coming a great multitude, Jehoshaphat. They are coming against thee. From beyond the sea, on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazen Tamar, which is in Gadai. And Jehoshaphat, what did he do? How is he going to respond to this? How do we respond? Oh, there's a whole bunch of people going to come up against you. You can't even imagine the trial you're going to have. And he said, but Jehoshaphat did something. He feared. Perfect love cast out fear. I believe this is a reverence that he had. He feared, but he set himself to do what? Seek the Lord. I know where my help comes from. In the time I'm overwhelmed, I know where to go. He said, to seek the Lord, he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah, when he calls them to this, did they respond? Or did they say, no, I really don't feel like it today. I think I'll just stay home. Judah gathered themselves together. Why did they get together? For the same purpose. They came to ask help of the Lord. Just like we all did with Lois. We all gathered together in one accord, waiting on the Holy Spirit. I was even going to call Jerry to pray, but God didn't need me to say that. God already led who he wanted to pray before we ever got over there. And I got to see what? The glory of the Lord. It is glory just to walk with him. You can be in the hidden part and see so much glory. Judah gathered themselves together. Why? To ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. You'd think they came to seek Jehoshaphat, right? No. They all came in response to, he said, we need to seek the Lord about this. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, and I love this, 1. O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not the God in heaven? You see, my ways are so much higher than your ways, and my thoughts much higher. And rulest not over all, not some, do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? 3, and in thy hand is there not power? I mean, we really have to respond to this. Is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? None. Art thou our God, who dost drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, they built a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying this: if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, or judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we aren't crawling around here, folks. We stand. We stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. And we cry unto thee in our affliction. Remember, that's what Paul did 3 times. But God had to change his attitude. Stop asking me to take away the things that hurt. My grace is sufficient. I ordered this for you. Then you're going to hear. You see, he said, cry thee in our affliction. We cry unto you. Then thou will hear and you will help. Do you respond to that? Do you believe that? He will help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, I love these heartfelt words. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We don't have any might. I don't care if you were to go to work and one man come against you on your job. You don't have any might against that person. You must believe in the Lord your God. You can fight it in your own strength, but you're not going to grow. You're going to remain there. Have you been at this mountain long enough? It's time to move on. Our God will not you judge them. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. We don't even know what to do. But I know one thing we can do. Our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood, and I got to stop there. What are your eyes looking at? When you got all this going on in your life, what are you going to look at? You might start looking around. You may start seeing problems. You may start seeing the wrong thing because you're going by sight. But get your eyes back on the Lord, the maker, the one who, he's not anxious about nothing. He's not worried. And someone said it. I know it was the Holy Ghost, but it was like, think of this. The Lord looks at every one of us and says, do you think I'm weak? I'm not weak. I have so much strength. And my strength is for you. I'm going to help you in this trial. We are going to keep our eyes upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord. And I like this too, with their little ones, their wives and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord. Here comes that dunamis. Here comes that power. In the midst of the congregation. And he said, let's say we're there. How are you going to respond to this, okay? No different than if a pastor gets up just like Gene Wednesday. How did you respond to that message? And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. So he didn't leave Jehoshaphat out. Here. Thus saith the Lord unto you. be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. For the battle's not yours. Huh? It isn't. No. The battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And you take this truth. What does the Bible tell us? The word of God endures forever. You shall stand forever believing this truth. But don't be afraid. Why? Fear is not of God. Nor dismayed. Don't be confused. How am I going to do this or whatever? By reason of this multitude. Doesn't matter if there's 50, 500, 1, 2. Doesn't matter. It's still a battle. The battle is not yours, but it's God. Because if you go in and you begin to fear, fear has torment. Just let it go. Give it back to God and say, you know what, God? You have this. You have it. You know each and every one of our hearts. Everybody. And he said, you'll be there for us. Tomorrow, here's some more of listen and how you're going to respond. Tomorrow, go you down against them. Behold, they come up and he tells them exactly where they're going to be. I like following this kind of person. They know everything. They know right where the enemy's encamped. They know exactly. They can see through his eyes. They come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeriel. But get this, you shall not fight in this battle. Don't you fight. Set yourselves, stand ye still. And guess what? You are going to see the salvation of the Lord with you. I mean, that to me is, that's so powerful to walk with him and know that he's got it all. He's got it. Oh, Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. You see, he didn't come to just one of them. He said, Judah, Jerusalem, fear not. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. Go on down. You already know where they're at because you just got told. For the Lord be with you. Jehoshaphat, thank God. Some come back and say, thank you, Lord. How did he respond to these words before he even goes out tomorrow? Jehoshaphat bowed down his head and his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they all fell down. You see that one accord, that oneness? They fall before the Lord and they worshiped the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of Korahites stood up and they began to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. And notice, it was a loud voice. It was probably coming from the innermost part of their being. And they could not contain this. With a loud voice, they began to worship him on high. And they rose early in the morning. I tell you what, when you have this kind of an experience, and you will experience this, you experience this with the Lord. I don't know if you've ever, I know you have, but you get the word of God and you go home and it's a light. Lights keep you awake. And it's like you sit out and you'll see people go, oh, I go, you should be waking up. This word is powerful. It'll wake you up. It'll stir up that man on the inside. It stirs you up. You can't even go to sleep. You got to get home and you got to keep searching some more. And then somebody will call you. And what did they do? They poke the fire and make it even more. And I got to get some more out of the word of God. There is so much more than the enemy can ever take away from any of us. Oh, they rose up early in the morning. They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, he stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe Believe. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe what God has already told us. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. And I will say, and settled and strengthened. You'll be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. Because if those prophets are really speaking what the Lord says, you're going to prosper. That word's not going to return void. And when he had consulted with the people, here's what he does. Now, think of it. There's a battle fixing to take place. Well, they got to do something, right? Might as well worship and praise the Lord, because you've already been told you don't have to fight the battle. When he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Man, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they begin to sing and to praise the Lord, they worshiped him. They were singing and praising, but look what the Lord did. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir. And Seir is the shaggy, rough place, Esau, which were come against Judah. They were smitten. Here we are. Wow, Lord. Bring us to that place that we just worship you, thank you, rejoice in you. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And Judah, here they come. They come toward the watchtower in the wilderness. And they looked at the multitude. Remember, oh, this is a multitude. How are we ever going to be able to do this? They looked at the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, all fallen to the earth, and none escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them abundance, both riches with the dead and bodies, precious jewels. They stripped off for themselves more than they could carry. And I always like to just not look at that part. I mean, I do, but I see it like, when you come into a battle, you better take more out of that than you came in with. You should know him in a greater way than you knew him when you went in that valley. And whatever he showed you about him, respond to it. Respond. Get excited about the Lord. We're talking about someone we can't see here, but we know there's treasures in those earthen vessels sitting right there. There's treasures in there. And he says that, take more out. They had so much, more than they could even carry away. They were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, which I can't say that, for there they blessed the Lord. And you notice what these people keep doing? Praise, worship, call upon the Lord, believe, bless the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berachah unto this day. Then they returned. Every man of Judah, Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem. With joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies, over the enemies, overcomers. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdom of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So, the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. Quiet resting place. For God gave him rest round about. God is the one. He has given us rest. We are laboring to enter into his rest. That day, everyone says Sunday is the Sabbath. Sunday is this. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't. Get off the shouldn'ts and just get on to what we got. 7 days of complete rest in the Lord. And he's going to work that in our heart, that it won't just be words. You see, a lot of people say, well, I want to see somebody walking in truth. I'm believing God they will walk in that truth, because the same God who gave it to them is going to work that in their heart. If he started it, he's going to finish it. If you want to be in the bride, he's going to do, and he's going to bring exactly what we have need of to get us ready for that wonderful place. Let's all stand.